Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
The voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, but it's all of our show, because your name is my name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. Thank you so much for being with me, and I missed you guys last week. I was with a crew of support personnel assisting a delegation that made a special trip down to Burns, Oregon, looking for a peaceful resolution for that. And also, it was a fact-finding mission. And we found plenty of facts. Some I can talk about, some I cannot. But I will be discussing this a little bit more in detail tomorrow night on Radio Free Redoubt, our weekly podcast. And I will be dedicating that episode to the findings and developments, basically all things Burns, Oregon standoff-ish, I'm going to be covering tomorrow night. We'll be talking about it briefly today, and there's some new developments I'm going to keep you apprised of, but that's going to be our primary focus. So I know many of you have been very interested to find out what's going on behind the scenes, and I also got a letter from a listener back east saying, you know, back east here, we think this is all just it's lunacy. We don't get the BLM tyranny that you guys are riled up about back there in the West. Help us understand this, because we're getting only one side of this. Well, if you're, you know, on the East Coast, especially up in New Europe, you're getting one side of the story, very biased, left-leaning, anti-freedom, it's government supremacist that's run its full course. Even in the minds of the people there, they're happy with tyranny that makes them feel comfortable and they're taken care of. But in the West and in the American Redoubt, folks enjoy their freedom. They enjoy liberty and they understand what that means. So we're also going to talk about that, just to educate those who are outside of the area that don't deal with government-managed land and the whole concept of land ownership. Now, I also want to encourage you to go over to Chris Ann Hall, Liberty First, Chris Ann Hall. She's a constitutional lawyer, patriot, and involved with the Coalition of Western States, who's been working tirelessly behind the scenes on the situation in Burns, Oregon. She has put together some incredible videos, YouTube videos, explaining the position from the patriot, freedom-loving point of view and pointing out the really terroristic acts by the BLM. Now, that seems like a stretch to say that about a government agency, but there are so many things going on that are not just procedurally wrong, potentially criminally wrong, and definitely illegal per the Constitution, which we've gotten so out of touch with, we don't recognize when we see our government doing something outside the law, which is the Constitution. So I want to recommend that you go over and check her Liberty First website out, because I'm a patriot, but I'm a regular guy. I'm a former military non-commissioned officer. I am a Christian. I have done a lot of things and I've been around the block, but I also have my limitations. I am no lawyer, nor do I aspire to be. However, there are people that's what the Lord has called them to understand the workings of the law and understanding how to counter the adversary of Americanism by fully understanding the law, the constitutional, all the principles behind it, and all the way back to our roots, where our laws even came from. They have a full, intimate understanding of that, and they know how to explain it. So she is one that's right at the top of the list. Chris Ann Hall, Liberty First, has done a lot of a really great job explaining and developing that narrative, if you will, for the Patriots, so we understand where we sit. When you think you're right, when the consequences are high, the stakes are high, you have to know you're right. And that's a great resource. Of course, we're always putting stuff up on Radio Free Redoubt, especially our Facebook page. That is something that's continuous information flowing up there. I know a lot of you are not into social media. Not a problem. We have some resources I'm going to be talking about tomorrow night that can help cover some of the stuff that's developing in Burns. Some of our just aggregate news link dumps where you can just pretty much read anything and everything having to do with the site that came out in the news that there's a link to. And I'll make those resources available to you tomorrow night. So we've got... we had a guest, but she's actually on a plane. She's going to be talking about the UN, land rights, land and water issues, very important stuff, ties very much into, well, what's going on in Burns, Oregon. But only that's not just there. That's just where the limelight is right now. But this lady, Karen Schumacher, will be speaking in Post Falls. I'll have all the information here for you in just a minute in case you're able to go and see that. It's today at 1, from 1 to 3. Great presentation for those of you in the North Idaho area listening, or even Spokane Valley. This is taking place in Idaho, but this is not an Idaho issue. This is a freedom issue. This is a land rights issue. This is a United Nations Agenda 21 that is not conspiracy theory. They are proud of this pet project of theirs. And we are going to lose our freedom if we don't stand up to it. We don't recognize it. We don't know how to stand up to it. Well, Karen Schumacher is going to do a great job of that. I'll have the information for you. It's a little further down in my notes. But first, I want to get into the news and commentary. News and commentary that could affect you as God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots concerned about America and the direction that we are headed and the cliff that this culture is trying to take us off of. And the news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. And you can learn more by going to 299days.com about the collapse and the rebuilding. Great stuff. Now, first, great news. Great news. Pastor Saeed Abedini, 35 years old, from Boise, Idaho, is coming home. This was just announced. The Iran is freeing several people, including a Post correspondent, Jason Rezaian, and three others. That's how they're running it. Because that's the most important person that they could possibly release. They're releasing a Post journalist, Washington Post correspondent Jason. Oh, and some three other guys. No. We're switching this. They are releasing our brother in Christ, Pastor Saeed Abedini from Boise, Idaho. He's been in captivity for 3 years after getting caught helping to build underground churches, spreading the gospel. So he has been released. It's been confirmed. This is the reports that I'm getting. And then Saeed Abedini and some other three guys that are also getting released. So isn't that a praise? Thank you guys all for praying for him, praying for his family. They also have a lot of hardship ahead of them. This type of captivity and separation is going to be a huge adjustment. They're going to continue to need your prayers, especially after the media has just lambasted him and caused a lot of distress on that family. So continue to lift them up in your prayers. And international news, Pamela Geller Report has several new articles about devout Muslims doing what devout Muslims do. Over in Burkina Faso, at least 23 dead now. That situation seems to be over at a hotel siege. And you can learn more by going to PamelaGeller.com, G-L-E-L-L. Wait, let me back up and try that again. Pamela PAMELA, Geller, GELLER.com. She does a great job of putting together aggregate news reports on anything having to do with devout Muslims and the scourge that they're making themselves apparently become to our culture, to the world. Germantown bans male refugees from swimming pool after sex attacks. I know it seems discriminatory, doesn't it? Well, they are discriminating, and this is a perfect case where discrimination is completely appropriate. There was a 17-year-old girl that was raped, and her 14-year-old sister was sexually assaulted at a public swimming pool by Muslim, devout Muslim refugees in Germany. Austria, schoolgirls are sexually abused for months by young Muslim refugee pupils. Another headline, horrifying video shows Muslim woman stab a teenager on London bus. Another one, more shocking sex attacks, gang gropes and rips the clothes off a British teen in Paris. And in Bavaria, which is one of the provinces in, or states in southern Germany, using babies as shields, refugee mob tries to kill aid worker and demands new apartments. And probably they didn't mention they demanding Wi-Fi and cable TV. Muslim attacks. Again, refugee kicks woman in the face, breaks her cheekbone when she resists rape. This was also in Germany. So our arms are wide open to refugees, helping these poor, poor people out. And they're trying the same thing in the United States, including the American Redoubt. I'll cover that in just a minute because Pastor Hadian did an amazing job presenting the truth about devout Islam in Idaho. He was in Boise, invited there. And the liberals were just pulling their hair out and clawing at their eyes, and it was a very interesting sight, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. Threat Journal from Alerts USA. On 9 separate occasions this week, Alerts USA subscribers were notified via messages, text messages to their mobile devices regarding threats to the U.S. attacks overseas and warnings from the U.S. government. The House Homeland Security Committee has reached its terror threat snapshot for released its terror threat snapshot for January. The report reveals 72 ISIS-linked attack plots on Western targets since the terrorist group began its worldwide campaign, including 21 ISIS-linked plots inside the U.S. The reports also mention 139 terrorist cases involving homegrown Islamist extremists since 9/11, along with a running tally of ISIS supporters arrested in the U.S. to date, 79 people. This is just getting better every day, isn't it? All right, folks, go buy a gun, or if you got yours already, go sight it in after the show. We'll be right back.
Are we living in a time of which there is more prophetic writings than of any period in history? Noah Parker, like many in the United States, has been asleep at the wheel. During his complacency, the founding precepts of America have been slowly, systematically destroyed by a conspiracy that dates back hundreds of years. The signs can no longer be ignored. Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker and his family as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. The days of Noah. By Mark Goodwin is a fast-paced fiction thriller which looks at how modern conspiracies could play into biblical prophecy concerning end times. Buy The Days of Noah in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
This is Chris Walsh, a Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you for sticking with us. This segment, the second segment, is brought to you by Works Holsters. Custom-made Kydex holsters right here in the American Redoubt. Custom-made, a lifetime guarantee. Check them out today. And Mrs. Schmidt is very excited. She's got a custom Works holster inside the waistband, so it's concealed easily. Popular with women, along with her flashbang holster as well for her Glock 43. And that's the slim, compact, single stack 9mm. And she was carrying a 45. She was carrying her Glock 36, but a little bulky, especially for the flashbang holster. But she's excited, and Works is making that available to us with the they got some great designs too. She picked the ATAC Bones, B-O-N-Z, camo design, even though it's hidden and it's camouflage. I mean, it's concealed. But she's like, that's okay. I'll see it when it's laying there on the bedstand. I want to see it. So, yeah, they got some great things to choose from. Works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z. Now, I was telling you before we took the break that there is an event going on over in Post Falls. Just across the border, if you folks are living in the Spokane Valley or anywhere within 30, 45 minutes, this will be worth your time. If you are anywhere in North Idaho in Post Falls today, January 16th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Post Falls Senior Center. It's the Post Falls Senior Center. You can just Googleize it and drive right to it. Okay, it's the Post Falls Senior Center. It's on 3rd Avenue, 1215 3rd Avenue, and Karen Schumacher is going to be presenting on how international forces, that's the primarily the United Nations, influences our water rights, land use, forests, and economic development. More importantly, she's going to be talking about what we can do about it. She has been on the leading edge of the battle against the United Nations agenda to rob us of not only just our land, but no, you can keep your land, but the high regulation of our land, restricting the uses of our own land. So get educated, patriots. You have to get educated. And there's also another event coming up March 5th, which is a fundraiser. And that will help support the NWPOA. That's the Northwest Property Owners Alliance. And you can learn more about those guys by going to nwpoa.org. And they're mostly based in Idaho, but they work with organizations across the border as well. This affects all of us in the American Redoubt. Remember, this is where they've got their sights set on the American Redoubt. Why? Because it is free here. And they've even openly boasted, if we can make conservative strongholds like Idaho, like Eastern Washington, like Wyoming, Montana fall, then the rest will fall. We have to fight to preserve the American Redoubt, which is the whole point of all of this, right? This is where the demographic shifting of conservative, God-fearing patriots are relocating to regularly. They're coming here by, well, the hundreds. I want to say by the thousands. But, well, actually they are if you spread load it all across the American Redoubt. And we hear from them all the time. They're getting out of occupied territory. They understand the Republic has fallen, and they want to be where other God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots are gathering right now. And you're probably listening right now saying, well, we moved here. We just felt the Lord's – it wasn't because of the American Redoubt. It's because we felt the Lord prompting us to. So we relocated a couple years ago. Well, guess what? Join the crowd, because the Lord is stirring in people's hearts. And I can't even tell you how many people have moved here because they were stirred to move, to be around other God-fearing patriots. And they know something's happening in our country, something we're being shaken right down at the roots, aren't we? But the situation going on in Burns, Oregon, that has us right on the edge of civil war that could spark it all. We talked about this, 2 weeks ago, right before we went down there. And it is so volatile right now. All somebody has to do, some person has to do something stupid, and the shot heard around the world again is fired. So we want this to come to a peaceful resolution, but this is pretty indicative, isn't it, of what's going on in our country. Now, we blew off a journalist, a freelance journalist, who showed up. We were parked and standing around. He says, "Hey, I'm a freelance journalist, and was wondering, are you guys involved in this thing in Burns down the road?" No. Well, have you heard of it? Well, yeah, you'd have to be living under a rock not to have heard of it. He says, "Well, I just want to know what your thoughts are." Of course, now right there, I should have just said thanks, but no thanks, turn around and walked away. But I asked him. I started asking him questions, which he really didn't like. I said, "Well, what do you think about it?" And he goes, "Well, I don't have an opinion. I just collect information, and I don't form an opinion." I said, "Oh, yes, you do. Matter of fact, the facts that you gather is going to help you write an article that will form opinions in other people's minds. So how do you plan on writing this at this point?" "Well, I'm just asking you, how do you think?" I said, "Well, do you think that it's possible there could be a big problem in our country?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, let me ask you this. You look at Black Lives Matter. Okay, you might not agree with their methods, but what we hear from the proponents of Black Lives Matter, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and those, we don't agree with their methods, but it is a sign that something is broken and needs to be fixed. What do we hear in Ferguson? Well, we don't agree with burning cars and looting. However, this is a sign of a bigger problem. This is symptomatic of something else that's broke." So I'm explaining this to this journalist. And of course, he's just a young kid. He's standing there staring with his mouth hanging open and not sure really what to say. So I said, "So now we might not agree or disagree or agree with the methods of taking over a refuge visitor center, but could that also be indicative of a bigger problem, of something that's broke? Now, when you take all of these completely otherwise unrelated demographic groups and all of them feel compelled to take what we would consider drastic measures." I mean, it's drastic to go with a bunch of armed guys and take over a wildlife refuge, isn't it? It's drastic to burn cars and to loot. It's drastic to invade political speeches and take over the microphone and scream Black Lives Matter over the top of it. Those are drastic measures. So this isn't a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's crossing all demographic boundaries. And everyone feels that there is no more recourse left for a redress of their grievances. They feel like something's broke, nobody's listening, and they've tried and exhausted every other method that they feel that this is their last recourse to do something drastic. So don't you think there could be a bigger problem that needs to be fixed for all of these unrelated demographic groups reaching the point where they're taking drastic measures? And he goes, "Well, I guess there it could be." It's like, yeah, why don't you look into that? Why don't you look into what's happening in our culture, how we're being ripped apart, and go to the root of it? Who do you think is behind causing all the division? Now, this kid is from Seattle, independent journalist. He's not going to get the spiritual warfare part, because that's what this really is. These are demonic, satanic influences from the tyrant all the way down to the rebel, the rebellious person. I mean, burning cars and looting businesses, that's not going to, you know, help any racial division. These guys down there in Burns, Oregon, apparently prayed about it, decided against it. At least Ammon Bundy did. And I don't want to get too much into what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow night. But very interesting. In fact, I have changed my viewpoint on the situation in Burns based on what I've learned since then. So I got off on a tangent. I left my notes. I was speaking from the heart. Darn it. Now, what do I do with myself? Okay. You guys all understand. You've been watching the news. Now, here's the other thing. When you're watching this little hand wave over here, look to see what the other hand's doing. Now, in this region, a lot of folks have got their eyes on Burns, Oregon. But look at the economy, what's happened in the last week. Look what's happened with now. The Dow Jones crashed almost 400 points on Friday. It's been in a free fall since the first of the year. Now, super giant Walmart has announced it's closing 269 stores. Walmart. I mean, this is like the McDonald's of the retail industry. They don't go out of business. They don't close. This is huge. Now, only, what, 150 or 160 of those 269 are actually in the United States. There's several in Puerto Rico and elsewhere. They're actually international. But that is not a good sign when you have a colossal economic giant in retrograde, retreating, pulling back, because they've been on nothing but an expansion campaign. Now, the oil is plummeting. Take advantage of that. Store up on some gasoline while you can. We don't know how long this is going to last, but when was the last time when you saw gasoline under $2 a gallon? As preparedness-minded, self-reliant-minded patriots, we celebrate because of the low gas prices, but this is actually an indicator of a bigger, more looming problem that will have adverse effects. Basically, cheap gas is the only thing that's good that's going to come out of this. So take advantage of that. But Fox 519 has been studying this very closely, and he wasn't able to come on the show. I wanted to pick his brain about this, but he is going to be covering the economic impact and his analysis tomorrow night on Radio Free Redoubt on the podcast. So tune in and listen to that. But right now, folks, if you have not done so already, you need to be liquid. That means have your hands on your financial assets where you can turn those into tangible assets. Right now, food. Food is something. If you watch Venezuela, it just came out. Venezuela hit, I don't have it in front of me, 146% increase in inflation. Food is so astronomical. If you can get it, it is outrunning the pace of the increase in the wages of those in Venezuela. And this is something that we've seen in multiple other countries. This is going to be a global collapse. Analysts like James Wesley Rawls and many others from Economic Collapse Blog, Brandon Smith from Alt Market. There's so many of these guys that are saying, you know what? We are headed for a global economic collapse. Now, these guys have been preparing for this and watching this for a long time. But you, the God-fearing patriot, you need to get yourself to the point where you will not have to stand in line for bread and soup. And those days are already here for some people. And there are many analysts that know a lot more than I do about economics that are saying that is coming here. Be prepared to minister to others. You can't minister to others if you're watching your children starve to death. become self-reliant patriots. We'll be back in just a minute. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Troubling to see our Christian heritage come under attack, isn't it? Right here in our own homeland. The first phase, that of removing references to Christ from public school Christmas programs, is creating the vacuum that phase two is poised to fill. Humans have a deeply inherent spiritual need to worship. We were made for it. The militant atheists claim they're striving for freedom from religion, but it shouldn't surprise us that their claims are disingenuous. Enter phase two. We are now seeing Muslim songs and references to Ramadan creeping into what are traditionally Christmas holiday season programs in our schools. Where are the atheists to chant and protest that religion has no place in the public schools? I haven't heard any. Well, there are voices of protest to the Islamification of our children. They are the voices of Christian parents who are told to be quiet and stop being Islamophobic or racist. Christians are beaten down and told they're not being loving or good Americans when they speak out against this hijra, the Islamic invasion through cultural jihad. What will it take to convince the American people that Islam is not peaceful? It is anti-Christian and it is anti-American. Don't be fooled, Christian patriots. Islam is not peaceful. It is patient. A sniper laying in his hide for hours or days is peaceful too, isn't he? I want to encourage the Christians, the remnant, to be bold in your faith. Christmas is about Christ and Christ alone, and I can't think of anything more American than that, so accept nothing less. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of history.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
have... To change the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. Communists set out to brainwash the people.
Do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
Radio. Free. Readout.
Thank you for sticking around with us here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And welcome to all of you listening in Wenatchee, Tri-Cities, Yakima, Moses Lake, Othello, Walla Walla, Northeast Oregon, North Idaho. We are now on the full ACN network. And it is made possible because those of you who have stepped up and helped to pledge to support Radio Free Redoubt. This is listener supported. We do have a couple of Patreon-owned, Christian-owned businesses that have helped as well to help offset some of that. But we really need your financial support. If you could just pledge and earmark that for ACN, you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the donate or support button, and you can even set that recurring at $5 a month, $10 a month. It all adds up, and it's just so important. We're like right on the edge, and we're grateful for you guys making this possible, but we're still short of our goals, so we could really use your help. If you are blessed by Radio Free Redoubt and you want to help us continue spreading the message to God-fearing patriots, then we appreciate your support. All right. Now, before I went into the break, there's a couple of things that I was talking about, but let's continue on with we were talking about the economic situation, how that could affect us, and make make it a priority. Right now, you can run down to Costco. You can run down to one of these bulk food stores and start just food, water, shelter. Focus on the food right now. That is what's being adversely impacted around the world by folks that are dealing with economic turmoil in their countries, where their economies are collapsing, which many, many analysts are telling us is going to happen here. Now, there's two sides to that. There's two groups. One group is telling us that we are headed toward an economic collapse that will make the 1929 and the 1930s depression pale in comparison to what we're headed for. And the other group is telling us that we are in an economic recovery. It's just a little slower than we thought. But when you see an economic super giant, Walmart, closing over 260 stores, when you see the numbers, when you see oil plummeting, when you see the Dow Jones plummeting, you've got another group saying everything's just fine. And isn't that what Obama said? That we are in a vigorous economic recovery. So just based on judging with your own eyes, who do you want to believe? Or who do you think it would be prudent to listen to more? And what would it hurt to have a year's worth of food stored up? Dry goods, beans, rice, canned food. What would it hurt? You're going to eat it anyway. You should be storing stuff that your family already eats anyway. But once it's not available, or once it's not, available because of the price, even when it is physically available, it doesn't matter what Obama says or these other people that are saying we are in this vigorous recovery. It just doesn't add up, does it? So I want you to keep that on your hearts and minds and pray about it, not out of fear, but how many scriptures have we read that talks about the wisdom in preparing, not putting your hope in that? Now, when I say this is another thing that Pastor Haiti and I were discussing, it's so important for us to get the message out to you guys, to our fellow believers, that when we say self-reliant, please do not mistake or misapply that statement as to say that we are implying that you do not put your faith in the Lord. Clearly, you put your faith in Him above all else. But one of the components of having faith in the Lord is to trust what He's placing on your heart. And if you're placing on your heart that there is hardship coming, there is a storm coming, there is a flood coming, there is hardship that is about to overtake your nation because, well, it's consistent with how He dealt with Israel or Judah in times when they rebelled against Him, right? Hardship and famine. So doesn't it make sense, like Noah or like Joseph storing up, that when the Lord's given you this this advance warning, to treat it as a blessing and start storing up so you can even help others? It's not just about you, but you are called to take care of your family. And you're worse than an unbeliever if you don't even take care of your own family. And you can't say that you didn't know it was coming, because unless you've been hiding under a rock or paying attention to Dancing with the Stars or whatever, something else, Seattle Seahawks, and you're not paying attention to other current events, hardship's coming. So there, I just did it to you. Now you don't have an excuse because you just heard me say that, and now you cannot unhear it. So now go prepare for your family. Not out of fear, out of a sense of responsibility and duty and service to help your fellow man who didn't get the message. How's that? There is a story that I wanted to cover earlier, and time just flies. This is amazing. I always get worried. Oh, I'm not going to have enough material and warming it. But then the time just flies. But there's one. This was from the
the liberal legislators, are you out of your minds? Category. Georgia Democrats introduce assault weapon confiscation bill in Georgia. The Southern Redoubt. Well, the Appalachian Redoubt. On January 11th, Democrats in Georgia's State House introduced a bill that bans assault weapons, quote unquote, and opens the door for the seizure of such weapons, along with accessories like so-called high-capacity magazines, which are just standard capacity. Now, according to this bill, and we got listeners in Georgia, and you guys are just – you're just furious right now, and you should be. The bill focuses on dangerous instrumentalities and practices by prohibiting the possession, sale, transport, distribution, or use of certain assault weapons, large capacity magazines, armor-piercing bullets, and incendiary 50 caliber bullets. That's like my – they just listed – that's my Christmas wish list. Moreover, the details – it details punishment for crimes involving the possession, sale, transport, distribution, blah, blah, blah. So – they are going to rid the state of Georgia of crime because they're going to be taking these kind of things away. Because this is not what your common criminals using, and law-abiding citizens aren't using these to commit crimes. But it makes them feel good about themselves. It makes them feel warm and fuzzy. Now, they'll probably try to use the Islamic extremism terror threat. What if these guys get their hands on this kind of weaponry? Well, once again, the Hegelian dialectic. You fools let them in the first place, knowing full well that they intend to try to kill as many of us as possible if we will not convert to Islam. So you let them in, and then you're worried about them getting their hands on weapons. So now let's just disarm all Americans, people who have committed no crimes, people who have no intentions of harming any other person other than if they are forced into a situation where they must defend themselves, their families, or their communities, or their nation. You're going to disarm them. And I wish I had thought ahead to pull up the quote, because it's interesting the word they use. Dangerous instrumentalities. Now, if you – then I've read this quote before. I don't have time to pull it up. But it is that every American should have – this is from our founding era – they should have basically guns, knives, every other dangerous implement of war. The American citizen is his birthright for the common defense of our country. Now, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have that quote right in front of me, but I've read it before. It's clear the intent of the founding fathers was that every American, especially every American male, have terrible implements of war. Or, in their wording here in Georgia, dangerous instrumentalities. Sometimes the only way to defend freedom, to defend your nation, defend your family, your country, your community, is with dangerous instrumentalities. You take those away, you take away the means of defending those things, which is our birthright. But there's something that's overtaking the minds of the people in this country. This is like living in Invasion of the Body Snatchers or Stepford Wives, where this something's happening to our fellow countrymen. And once again, this is called spiritual warfare. They cannot make sound, reasoned decisions and choices. There's a veil pulled over their eyes. They can do nothing that's sound-minded. In fact, they are funding and bringing in a sworn enemy to our country. And this could very well be part of the judgment on this country. So God's hand could be in it. So we can fight it and resist it all we want. If the Lord decides to hand our country over to this sworn enemy, which it appears that it's happening, the foundational groundwork is being laid for it, then what does that leave us with? Dropping to our knees, crying out to him, and if he will not restore our nation, if our nation continues in rebelliousness against him, then pray for the remnant and gather the remnant, and we are running out of time. That's the whole point of this message. This is why I do what I do, because this is what I feel the Lord's placed so firmly planted in my heart, that this became
Radio Free Readout, what this has grown into today. And that's the message. And it's so encouraging to hear folks that are responding to that, even without my influence, just the Lord tugging on their heart saying, you need to relocate to this Idaho. Where? Idaho? Never heard of it. Isn't that anywhere? I don't want to live anywhere near Cincinnati, Idaho, Ohio. Okay. And they're moving here. Isn't this interesting to watch what's happening? I know that a lot of you guys see this, but from my perspective, it's like I'm right at the hub with all these spokes connected. And it is an amazing viewpoint, vantage point to watch God work in the believers. It's exciting to be a part of. You know, I know we're headed toward hardship in our country, but I get excited in kind of a, I don't know, sometimes I think there's something wrong with me, but we're built for this time, for this age, for this day, for this season that we're in. We were born for it, for His glory. And He is such an amazing God. Okay. I do have a couple of things that I did want to share, which I will be talking about tomorrow night. Because speaking of the American Redoubt and fighting for liberty and standing our ground and the gathering, there are people gathering right now over in Oregon. But right now, it is very volatile. The standoff with armed militia in Oregon escalated yesterday after police swooped in on one of the protesters to make the first arrest in connection with the two-week occupation of a federal wildlife refuge. Now, there are a lot of 3% Oathkeeper, militia, patriot, just multiple different, I guess, representation of a cross-section of the patriotic community there, from clergy, pastors, to legislators, to political activists, independent patriotic journalists, to armed militia, just a great cross-section, I guess, who are converging. And there was the strong message. Do not, to the federal government, do not let this turn into another Waco. Or rather, take notice, federal government. You are in this standoff with these folks, but we will not allow this to turn into another Waco situation. There are thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of patriots that have their bags packed and ready to roll if this turned out to be like another Waco situation. They won't tolerate it. So everybody's walking on eggshells right now on both sides of this, but they did just make an arrest and things got a little intense, but they do have a guy in custody. He was arrested for unauthorized use of a government vehicle using apparently a fishing game vehicle. So he is in custody. And then there was another one where one of the apparent bodyguards, one of the security detail guys, was also arrested. And this was unrelated, though. This was on an arrest warrant from Arizona. And I'm not sure of the details on that. So it looks like so far, two have been arrested. One was unrelated to the standoff situation, which really it's not even a standoff. There's no roadblocks. People are coming and going freely. They're just all doing their own thing. The federal government is at a compound at the airport in Burns, 30 miles away. These guys are out at the airport or out at the refuge doing ranch work, putting up fences or putting up gates in fences. And it's kind of a strange situation. Kind of strange. But let's talk about some other stuff in the American Redoubt, the last little bit of time that we have here. This was very cool. Pastor Hadian went down upon being invited by legislators in Boise to speak on the refugee resettlement issue. And there is a group of interfaith religious leaders who decried him showing up there to speak about the threat of Islam and the implementation of Sharia in our culture. Now, Idahoans don't want this, but liberals are really good about gathering the 10 people that they got and all in one place and waving signs and making a big scene of themselves. Not to mention, you've got the congregations of this interfaith
cultural diversity group of so-called Christian pastors, along with Muslims and along with Baha'i and everything else you can imagine, saying we embrace Islam here. Now, here's the Christian pastor with this little shawl hanging around his neck in rainbow colors with a cross on it. So those are the kind of people that are opposing those on the wall, the watchmen, who are putting out the warning to our legislature of what we face with this Muslim invasion, this al-Hijra, the strategic takeover of a nation through immigration. And this lady, Julianne Zuhl, executive director of the International Rescue Committee, says, "We welcome cultural diversity and the value that it brings to make this state great." Okay. Bringing Islam into the American Redoubt anywhere, and especially Idaho, which is right at the center of this fight. This is one, that's the one they want to take down because it is so conservative over there. But it doesn't bring value to Idaho. It doesn't make the state great by diversifying it with Muslim invaders. But that's how these people think, and they're convinced of this. Pastor Hadian said, "I'm not against refugees. I'm against this particular program as it stands. Many of the citizens, I believe, of this state would feel the same way." And he's right. See, because this lady, Zuhl, of this ministry outreach rescue organization, said about 1,000 refugees are resettled in Idaho each year. And she said that each one is thoroughly vetted. That right there is a lie. They're not thoroughly vetted because they cannot be thoroughly vetted. She says it's a process that involves both domestic and international law enforcement agencies comparing both biometric data and name data. So all lists of known individuals who've been involved in terrorist planning of any sort, it's lengthy. It takes up to 2 years. Okay, well, it should take up to never, because the FBI admitted just, 3 weeks ago, and the department head of the DHS in congressional testimony both stated, "We have no way of knowing who these people are. We don't have the vetting process in place to out these people and identify who they are. Many of them don't have surnames, so they're allowed to make them up. A lot of the times, the activities that they're involved in aren't in any databases. So to run the name that they give you when you ask a Muslim refugee has to match up with a name in the database that's involved in terrorist activity. And that name had to have previously been entered into the database. So many of them, there is no information on them in the database that they claim to compare it to. On top of that, you're most of the time not even getting their true name. So this is very deceiving to tell the people that they're thoroughly vetted when they are absolutely not. And Pastor Hadian brought this up to this testimony. So the beautiful thing is that he had audience with the legislators who've already began working on formulating plans to keep Islam refugees from getting further entrenched into the American Redoubt. And the legislators will be working on legislation to circumvent anything that could remotely let Sharia law gain a foothold. This is a spiritual battle, and it's not over. But they're rolling up their sleeves. They're educated. They're paying attention, and I'm thankful for this. But like he said, like Pastor Hadian told the crowd, we're seeing a revolutionary jihadist climate starting to develop here in this country, and we are. Are we not? If your head's not in the sand and you're looking around, you can see where the devout Muslims are getting more and more emboldened, and they're calling more openly for jihad. And I know there's a lot of peaceful Muslims living in our country that just want to work and come home. but it's the next generation. It's their children and the parents of these peaceful Muslims that are not radical, which just means that they're not devout, but they're not radical, but their children are, and they're shocked. I had no idea little Ahmed was into this kind of thing. I'm so saddened. Well, this is what they must do. And these are what the current imams are telling them they must do if you are truly a devout Muslim. And if you're not towing the line and you're not carrying out jihad, you are not a devout Muslim. This is what your children, peaceful Muslim, are being told. And you can't understand why Christian Americans are upset about this. So, very possible this is part of God's judgment. Now, this is what's interesting also. We also see the increase of persecution against Americans, Christians. And what's interesting is today, January 16th, is Religious Freedom Day, celebrated in America each year. The date of 1786, passage of Thomas Jefferson's Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. And of course, they had Christianity in mind at that time, not Islam, because Islam is antithetical to Christianity. It is hostile and in conflict with Christianity and our Constitution. Sharia law must replace our Constitution. And that is their goal. And they've stated it clearly. So that's not what was on their mind when they made January 16th, 1786, from that date forward, the day of religious freedom. That Virginia statute, like similar ones passed in other states, was designed to give broad protections of religious freedoms, which were subsequently enshrined at the federal level in the First Amendment of the Constitution, which states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But as we see them ushering in Islam, we are seeing the prohibition of the free exercise of Christianity. We're seeing the groundwork being laid for pastors to be out, to fall outside of the exceptions for religious exceptions for speaking the truth and speaking the gospel. So hold them up in your prayers. Folks, you have a blessed weekend. Join me tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Radio Free Redoubt for our weekly podcast. And God bless all of you. This is John Jacob Schmidt out.